Hail, cheaters, and welcome to the Always Cheating Fantasy Premier League podcast. My name is Josh, and I'm here with Brandon. Brandon, how are you?
I'm good. I'm pleased that you decided to go with our Hail, cheaters opening. We discussed that last week.
We did, yeah. I just thought I liked it a little more. It's a little stronger. I have to, hello and welcome is very formal, and
it is a little formal.
I feel like I'm on NPR or something.
So hearing you say "Hail Cheaters" actually puts me in a little better mood. We were talking right before we started recording the pod that we're starting to get a little stressed out with the fantasy league right now, because now the double game weeks are announced. We're in the home stretch. It's getting like gravely serious at this point.
It is. I can't imagine how stressed I'd be if I had something to play for. Yeah, my season, you know, it was such a bad. So I've actually had a pretty good stretch of, like, I think I was telling you yesterday, I'm up 700,000 places in 3 weeks.
Like, that's just insane.
It is insane.
700K.
Yeah, it points to how far down I was, but I have like zoomed up into respectability, but I'm still far, far below where I need to be. But it's at least I've done just, I mean, because if I had 3 more bad weeks, I think we would just not be recording right now. I think that would be it. I wouldn't have the internet. Like it would take a lot of like old school, like, you know, Christian strength, and like, you know, like I'd have to like dig into my soul and find.
I something. Love this old school Christian strength.
Yeah, that's like amazing. like a pilgrim or something.
That would be a really dope FPL team name, I think.
Old school Christian strength.
Yeah, I think both of us exist in that overall rank where it's a little squishy and it's not too difficult for us to move up. But yeah, if you're way up at the top and the points about to be as volatile as they are with all these chips and all these double game weeks, if I were like in the top 10 overall, I would just be freaking out.
Yeah, you'd have to like take a sabbatical from work or something. Like there's no working during not if you've got all of your chips. Oh my god, I can't imagine.
I've got to be honest with you. I don't even know how much money there's money at stake, right? If you win the FPL game.
No, I don't think so. I think it's like they fly you to like a game of your choice and you get like
you get to have tea with Sir Alex Ferguson or something like that.
Not even, it's like Gary Lineker or something.
Oh wow. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
So well, I have a list of questions already for Gary. So
Steven Lineker. I mean, I think they put you up in a hotel or whatever. And
it's just like that's never on good. The table. It's never on the table that you're going to win. So why? I don't even investigate what the stakes are. My stakes are the $50 that we put up for grabs every season. Mm-hmm. And that's pretty much all I'm focused on.
Well, and the additional $50 that we put up this year for our 50 buck cup.
Yeah, exactly. Well, that's the source of much sort of what would you call it? I don't know. We generally don't have very happy conversations about our personal rivalry.
We don't. We don't have that kind of friendship. I think is what it boils down to. We're just we know each other for a long time. We were never competitive friends until this.
Yeah,
you know, like it wasn't part of our life. So I think that when we start talking about it, it gets very testy, and it feels like beating the other person like implies that you're like better than them or something. You know,
it's real old school stuff. It's old
school. It's really old school stuff. But you know, all that said, I had a pretty good game week 31. You know, worked out pretty well.
Yeah, tell us all about how Klopp and a half did.
Well, okay, so not to get into any kind of detail here, but I had a pretty bad stomach flu last week, really out of commission. Watched, you know, stayed home, watched a lot of basketball, and my beloved Michigan State, terrible loss on Friday in the NCAA basketball tournament. And so it was just I was sick and you know, and just kind of, you know, distracted by the Michigan State loss. And I was, you know, I didn't even watch basketball in the evening, actually. Kate was out with friends and my wife, and I rented Master and Commander.
That's a sure sign that you're down in the dumps.
It's true. I needed like a 3-hour movie about the British Royal Navy and the Napoleonic Wars. Movie that I have seen so many times.
Throw in a little Darwin.
Exactly. I've seen it so many times. I really should own it. Like I've rented it like 5 times on the Apple Music iTunes store.
I'm sure Russell Crowe's thank you note is in the mail.
So I had actually made a move the day before because I kind of knew what I wanted to do. And I cannot remember doing this in 5 years of having having a league in the Fantasy Premier League. I did not set my team. This never happens.
Yeah, I couldn't believe it when you told me the next day that you forgot to set your team. That the only reason Russell Martin persisted, well, fortunate for you, was that you forgot to set your team.
So it was a horrible feeling. And, you know, actually, it worked out doubly. Because if I had set my team, I think I was leaning towards Sigurdsson as captain. And I would have moved Martin out for Ivanovic. So I would have, I would have been like 25 points lower because Russell Martin picks up the clean sheet. Ivanovic picked up a zero. Yeah. And I would have had 5 points doubled from Sigurdsson instead of 16 doubled from Kane. So pretty massive turnaround. I finished with 89 points, which is a very, very solid score.
That is great.
If I had just swapped out Van Dijk for Bellerin, which we actually talked about on the pod and decided that there was that Bellerin was by far the better bench choice this game week, and I stand by that despite what happened.
That's two weeks in a row where we made terrible calls on our good friend Hector Bellerin.
Yeah, exactly. I don't stand by it in the sense that I don't like regret it and like very badly wish that I had those extra 11 points. But you know, what are you going to do? I mean, Van Dijk was at home. It was certainly possible that they'd keep a clean sheet against Liverpool. I mean, Bellerin until like 2 weeks ago was not an assist machine at all this year.
Very quiet. Very
yeah,
quiet.
Yeah. So pretty happy week overall.
Yeah. I somehow feel, disappointed. I finished with 75. It always feels good, particularly this season, to pick the captain correctly. Mm-hmm. Went with Kane, as did most folks. But my defense really, I mean, Martin Demichelis, and we'll talk more about Mr. Demichelis when we get to the Manchester Derby discussion. But he totally ruined my team in like the span of 10 minutes. He ruined the clean sheet against United, and then he left a back pass short that has now totally disrupted my goalkeeper situation. Joe Hart looks like he's out for what, like 4 weeks or so.
Uh-huh.
So as usual, my clean sheets let me down. Like you were racking up the clean sheets. I think a lot of other people were too. And the Chelsea defense continues to let me down.
Yeah,
but 75. You can't feel too bad about that. I still managed to get a green arrow.
Yeah, 19 points above average. I think it was 75 was kind of around average for the Hail Cheater Super League. It was maybe that puts you a little lower in the Hail Cheater Super League.
I got a red arrow in Hail Cheaters.
You got a red in that.
Yeah, yeah. I'm down to 191.
Okay.
With all the good people.
You're still above me. I did pick up a green sheet. I picked up a green sheet.
Sounds like you're cleared for immigration.
Like clean sheet. It's like a clean sheet is when you look at all of your leagues on the right hand side of the page and they all have greens. I think picking up that's a green sheet. And then if it's red all the way down, that's just red card. There's no. Terminology there.
I know everyone wants an update on my rank in the United States. So get this. I'm up to 7,323.
That's not bad. That's not bad.
now tell me, what is the prize for finishing first in the United States? Do I still get to meet Gary Lineker?
I don't even think you get a handshake. There's a certain prize. Like you can have one of those Twitter feeds. Like we've all seen those Twitter feeds where the person like takes a, for some reason it's always an out of focus screenshot of their of their rank. You know, like someone will have had an amazing week and they'll be in the top 10 point scorers. And so they'll take this like blown up photo of their rank for that game week. And that's their Twitter profile avatar.
No knowledge of DPI. These idiots,
you know, it's like, do you know the trick for, if you want to take a photo of a bird in nature, Brandon is,
I don't, surprisingly,
if you want to take it with your iPhone, you just take the photo. You don't try to zoom in at all.
Right.
And all the zooming in you do after the fact, because you can control how much you want to zoom afterwards, and you're still getting everything in the aperture. So
this is a great tip that we can translate to, say you're watching a football match at your local football ground. And you want to take a picture of your favorite player in full flight.
That's right. You really do. I'll never use the Zoom. Like, pretend that this is true. Yeah, it's true of anything on your phone. Just pretend the Zoom does not exist, and you will take much better photos.
That's awesome. Don't say you never. I mean, you probably haven't learned anything about the Premier League listening to this podcast, but using your mobile phone.
Yeah, we got that trick down. So, okay, let's move on to the Hail Cheater Super League. Do you have anything else you want to say, Brendan? Any more updates on where you stand in, I don't know, in the NBC Sports Announcers League?
Well, yeah, strangely, in NBC Sports, I'm actually ranked, 22 places lower than I am in the United States. So apparently the NBC League is much more competitive. I'm 7,345 there.
Okay.
I'm probably competing against Arlo White and Rebecca Lowe there.
Yeah, maybe if there's some Canadians in there or something.
It could be. No, the Puerto Rican contingent, which is strong.
Ah, that must be what it is. Yep.
Well, before we get to the Hail Cheaters Super League, we had a good night out that was very American soccer-related last night. Print is not dead, Josh.
No, it's thriving when you have amazing design and you can kind of turn it into an art book.
Yeah, we went to a celebration of Howler Magazine, which is stateside. It's this big quarterly glossy magazine, like Josh is saying. It's beautifully illustrated, and they have lots of great articles therein. So they had their 10th issue that came out, and we got to meet the he's like the creator, the editor-in-chief, the founder of Howler Magazine.
Yeah, just the guy who kind of runs the show, George Qureshi.
Yeah, and he has a great podcast network called the Howler Podcast Network, which they often have David Goldblatt on as a guest there, who's one of my favorite soccer journalists. He wrote the amazing book, The Ball is Around. So yeah, anyway, sure. Yeah.
And you gave him a pin, and he wore the pin.
George Qureshi is walking around wearing a Hail Cheaters podcasting pin. So wear it loud and proud, George.
That is cool. And it reminds me that I have like a good 10 people that I've told them I've mailed the pins to. And I've still not done this. I feel like it's been so long that like even thinking about it makes me feel guilty. So I just avoid thinking about it entirely. Right. But I should really make a goal like by the end of the season. I should have those out in the mail.
You should make a goal. Yeah, make goals. It's good to set goals for yourself.
Yeah, so random people like Colin Bothwell in Ireland, like the season's going to be over. And then like one random day in July when fantasy football is the farthest thing from his mind, he's going to get his little pin in the mail.
And it's going to be the greatest day of his summer. And he's going to be reminded, all right, season 2016-2017, right around the corner.
That's true. I know it's like the season starts like 4 weeks after this one ends, right? So
just as soon as ever all the teams get back from China, or playing the International Club Cup here in the United States.
Yeah, we were a little snarky about that on Twitter yesterday, but it's just, I mean, they like, I don't know if anyone's ever tried to buy tickets for this. First of all, they sell out right away. It's crazy. And, like the amount of money you're paying, which is usually in the hundreds, for games that have like somewhere between 5 and 0 star players from that team. And
yeah, Joe Allen will probably be captaining the Liverpool squad that tours the globe.
Exactly. And those 5 and then like 18 youth players. So it's, so you're paying a lot of money for a match that they clearly don't care about. And honestly, if you're a fan of these clubs, you don't even want them playing in them, right? Because you've just finished a 38-week season.
Well, the Euros are this summer.
This summer.
And Joe Allen's probably going to be captaining the Welsh side.
And the Copa America's this summer. So I really don't know who's going to be playing in these matches because there are like two massive international companies. And Copa America is taking place on U.S. soil at like the same time. So it's going to be a strange summer. It's going to be like way too much football. Like my wife is going to kill me if I try to go to any of this stuff.
Yeah, well, we need to put a little distance for once between ourselves and all the sports get ball.
So one last thing, Brandon. Wanted to give a shout out to FPL Transfer Hub. It's run by our friend Nick Cummings. It's triggerlips.com. It's a great, it's a great website. It's also a great community that that's sort of a, the part of that. And he had an article that I thought was really fascinating. It was Double Game Weeks, What You Need to Know. And one thing I think is so great about his site is that he really he just breaks things down very cleanly and clearly. And he gives a team-by-team look at fixtures, at their sort of their motivation to keep playing in the league, their rotation threat, the injury risk, whether they play in Game Week 35, whether they play in Game Week 37, very clean and clear. And he didn't, you know, this is not like a paid endorsement, but we're definitely a fan of his, and we wanted to shout that out because we found it very useful as we were prepping for this episode.
I totally agree. I love the way Nick writes. He reading his articles is like he's thinking out loud, and he sort of reads like a normal human FPL manager who I can understand.
Exactly. Totally agreed. So there's obviously a lot of good content out there, but I think this is really one of the top FPL sites FPL sites around.
Shall we talk about people who don't need our help? People who might be topping one of the most competitive fantasy leagues on the planet?
I think it is the most competitive, the Hail Cheaters Super League. Now, do you think that we should be changing this to Super League LIG? Because that's Super League is how they do it in Turkey.
Well, you're correct about that, but the sensation that is now the Chinese Super League. So it's kind of depends on which sort of market we want to corner.
Right? Do you want to go cheating. Shanghai? Do you want to go Istanbul? It's a tricky one.
Yeah, I mean we can start super leagues all across the world, and and our brand will grow appropriately, I'm sure.
That's true. I'm sure the expression "Hail Cheaters" is universal.
How about we set up a vote on our Twitter feed at Hail Cheaters, and people can vote as to how they want the super league to be spelled next season?
That's a good idea. Okay, let's do that. So anyway, to the league itself, meta discussion.
To the league.
All right. Shout out to Guillermeld, Isle of Nabumbu, in first place 2 weeks in a row. I think 2 weeks in a row. I think.
Yeah, he is two weeks in a row. He's got a gray arrow here, which means he's held fast.
No, but just I wonder if it's two or longer. I think it's just two. Oh, it doesn't matter. It's longer. He's held it longer than you and I have. Actually, no. I think we might have both held first place back when you and I were the only two people in the league. those 31 weeks ago.
Many times.
Okay, moving on, we have Mohamed Al-Kiassi's Keep Calm and Climb Up. He is in second, picked up 83 points.
He's just 1 point behind Guillermeld.
Very tight at the top. And even underdogs, Owen O'Keefe, who had held the top spot for a very long time, is only 9 points, or 10 points back, 9 points back of second. Tough week for him, only picked up 65 points. Melvin United, Melvin Mbazi, had 88 points this week. Sean Kaminsky's Take a Load Off Mane is in fifth. Dare to Zlatan, Chris Morin, is in sixth. He moved up to sixth, actually.
Well done, and, Chris.
Yep, and is only 2 points back of fifth now. And Stone Cold Stunners, Mark Johnson, is in seventh. Gamchester United, Graham McDonald, is in eighth. He has a question for us this week, too, which we'll get to later. Colin Bothwell's Ajax Trezeguet. Tough week for Colin, 56 points. And Laith Kassab is in 10th with a team name that I never try to pronounce because it's just...
Kazerber Slotten FC. Kazer,
thank you, Brandon. 82 points and in 10th place. So,
man, I wonder if Colin Bothwell pulled a Josh this week and forgot to set his team. Maybe his bench wankerism finally caught up with him.
Well, I think this was a week. I mean, I'm sure what happened was he didn't captain Harry Kane, and yeah. I think that was the big decision this week. You know, is do you stick with Kane or do you try Sigurdsson? Even Aguero at home to Man United was not not outside the realm of possibility as a captaincy option.
Yeah, I guess. There's nothing like picking a captain correctly to make you feel sort of holier than thou.
Yeah. I know that Harry Kane is, you know, his ownership is only at 40%, and I know it's higher among the non-dead teams, you know, yeah. the teams that are still trying. At this point, there's about 100 of us.
We're a small, tight-knit community, all 50 of us around the world who are still paying attention to the fantasy game.
And I think that even among those group, his ownership is not outrageous. So, I mean, even if his ownership is at 60%, which is quite high, you know, if he has a big game week, you're still doing better than 40% of the other managers. So it's not, you know, I think there's this feeling sometimes, and I know that I feel this way because it's hard for me to ever really feel like I had a good game week. Even in a week where I score 89, I'm like, well, you know, if I played Bellerin instead of Vanda, you know, I always find some reason to feel like I could have done a little better. But you know, you have to appreciate when you get 16 points doubled from Harry Kane, and you know, I had picked up Eriksen the week before too, who had blanked, but then he picked up 9 points this week.
He blanked, and I laughed, and I laughed, and I laughed, and I did not laugh this past week.
You were the one who, in fact, I would have brought in company, who I would have had to, I guess, transfer out. Like, it would have been a mess.
Yeah.
So, so it worked out well. Another reason, you know, a reminder once again, not to look at transfers in a vacuum. Although that said, I actually think that Eriksen was a straight up 2 week punt, and I'm planning to drop him this week.
Yeah, Tottenham is going to be a tough call, as we'll get to when we talk about a lot of your questions, obviously pertaining to double game weeks. Tottenham not having a double game week in either week 34 or 37, it's going to be tough to decide who stays and who goes from Spurs.
Yeah, so we're going to do a big double, like sort of we're going to answer questions and talk about double game weeks, because most of the questions were about double game weeks in just a moment. But first, let's do our let's do a quick game week recap.
I thought for a second you were going to throw it to commercial there, which I would have been really impressed.
I think I'm just getting myself ready for that first Squarespace, the first...
yeah, absolutely. First, it's going to happen.
Yeah, the first MeUndies, whatever it is, I'm ready for it.
We got to get those razor blades. Harry's razor blades. How about that?
Yeah, exactly. those guys, they don't like to discount because their prices are so low already.
See, there you go. You already tossed it to commercial. Yep. Well done, sir. All right, so game week 31.
It's a quick hitting, Brandon. This is less narrative, you know, even though we love the narrative, and more content. Right? Okay, we're going to try to focus. Every 10 episodes, I think we should focus on content. You know, it's not what I want to do every week. You know, okay. I prefer nonsense, but I think a little content thrown in can be healthy.
Okay. I'm with you. I've got my content cap on, my nonsense cap across the room.
All right, so Arsenal Everton. I think you know, a lot of people had transferred in Lukaku for this game week, and it's just another reminder of how unreliable Everton is. You just never know what you're getting with that club.
Yeah, and watching this game, I felt like Lukaku was just cut off from the rest of the Everton squad, and they couldn't get anything going. I feel like it was tough to judge Lukaku's form based on this match, because the team in general just couldn't get anything going.
Yeah, I am. It definitely casts a little bit of concern I'm feeling about what to do with Everton moving forward. I mean, they have, you know, they have two double game weeks, as we talked a little bit last game week. You know, they have a game week in 34 where they play Southampton and Liverpool, and then a double game week in 37 where they play Leicester and Sunderland. And then there's a Bournemouth fixture sandwich in, but they also do have the game week 35 off. So it's looking like right now I'm probably just going to bring in Lukaku. I think that's the one player I'd bring in.
I would agree with you. I mean, steering clear of the Everton defense for obvious reasons.
Yeah, but I think Vardy to Lukaku is the one move that makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, but Arsenal, a lot of Arsenal questions I think were answered in this game. They don't have any bearing on fantasy, but guys like Elneny, who look like they're shoring up the midfield for Arsenal. The fact that they were able to keep a clean sheet away from home against Everton, who can be high-flying, it should make everyone feel pretty safe about investing in guys like Bellerin or Koscielny going into these double game weeks, that there are going to be clean sheets there for Arsenal.
Yeah, there is not a lot to like about this season for Arsenal, as everyone who's followed the Premier League or has listened to any podcast, because it's like an unwritten rule that if you have a soccer podcast, you must spend a third of every podcast talking about Arsenal.
Yeah,
you know, there's just like it's irresistible, like, because
Wenger out, Wenger in, Wenger out.
Just the way they lose is so You know, it's tragic. So it's so disheartening. Yeah. But the one, I think the one thing you can be excited about if you're an Arsenal fan is, you know, it's Elneny and it's, you know, it's Coquelin and
Iwobi
and Bellerin and Iwobi. I mean, there's just all of these young players. I mean, their youth movement really is working, you know. I mean, it's you know, and it's, I mean, you almost take it for granted because you know, the Coquelin and Bellerin have been so seamlessly integrated into that team over the last year or so. But that is a successful, I mean, to add 2/11ths to your team, you know, through your farm system is something that doesn't happen very often in the top clubs. I mean, you look at how hard it is for Man City to even bring in Iheanacho, you know, I mean, and they're desperate for a striker.
Iheanacho, who will be on tour this summer for your Manchester City.
He is exactly the kind of player you're going to see for $500 in the International Champions Cup.
Wilfred Bony will be playing in goal. It's going to be amazing.
Bill Bony could play goal, I think.
Dude, that guy can play any position, but the position he gets put in. Whenever.
that's like, what's his name? Who is the current striker for Swansea? Gomez.
Oh yeah,
like wouldn't Gomez make a great goalkeeper? You know, he's got the long arms. You know,
sure,
he's lithe.
He's kind of crazy.
He's a little crazy. Yeah, I want to see. I would love to see a soccer match where you just took. Okay, let's say you just swapped the two players. So he's okay. Fabianski striker and Gomez is a goalkeeper and. Bony is the striker. Bony is the goalkeeper, and I guess Joe Hart is the second striker.
Who wins?
Who does worse? Like, who's, you know?
I think Joe Hart just absolutely cleans up.
I think you're right, but I think that Gomez is the better goalkeeper. Because Gomez is, actually moves with some speed. Yeah. And Bill Bony... He at best he canters. He mostly trots around the field.
Yeah. And he walks around like he's a cowboy from a Clint Eastwood movie. But I guess that we can't sell Lucas Fabianski short. I can't even imagine what that man would look like playing up front. I mean, I maybe he'd look, maybe he'd be look awesome.
Like he'd look a little bit like one of who's the striker on Southampton?
Graziano Pelle?
No, the other
Shane Long.
I think he'd be like a Shane Long type.
Okay, he's all pace.
He's all pace.
Gap toothedness.
Exactly. Yeah, I think Fabianski might have a little speed.
Okay, this one's too close to call. This is another one where we're going to have to go to the polls.
Yeah, we got a lot of poll questions now for this week.
We do.
So Danny Welbeck is the other player I wanted to quickly highlight here. Arsenal have only one double game week, but it's a very good one. They're home to Crystal Palace and West Brom in game week 34. I'm planning to triple up on Arsenal when I play my wild card in 33.
Yeah, that's a triple captain possibility because those are two matches at home that they could definitely rack up the goals.
Absolutely. And although the bench boost is tempting too, because you know you have Man U at home with Aston Villa and Crystal Palace as well, so it's a tricky one. But they have a double game week, and then they have Sunderland away in game week 35, and Norwich at home in game week 36. So, you know, not to get too into the double game week discussion yet, but I think that Danny Welbeck is a very interesting striking option. That you know, it's just whether you trust him to keep it going, and whether you think that he's better than the player you'd have to drop to bring him in.
Yeah, I feel like he's a slam dunk apart from the rotation concern. Wenger was quoted today online. He was talking about Welbeck and saying, yes, he was in great form, but they still have some nagging concerns about his knee injury.
Yeah.
Now, I mean, Wenger has a reputation, I think, for speaking in riddles when it comes to his players' injuries. So maybe we take that with a grain of salt. But if someone could guarantee me that Welbeck doesn't get rotated during these double game weeks, then I'm pretty sure I would want to bring him in.
I think so. What I'm leaning more towards a double Arsenal defense. You know, going with it's tricky though because you have to go with two defenders probably instead of Peter Cech because we're not sure when Peter Cech is going to be back. I mean, I don't think that's been settled yet, has it?
It has not been settled.
Yeah, so it's that could be tricky. If Peter Cech is, because I don't think he's not supposed to be out like a month, but you know, a month for Arsenal is usually like three. So
yeah, right. So the FPL site would have you believe that he's expected back during the break. He's going to be back for game week 32. So that's what possible. See. And so maybe he is all settled and good to go for the double game week. So we're not going to be playing our wild card, if we do play our wild card, until game week 33. I think the check question could be answered by then.
Right. And you could play your wild card in game week 32. I'm surprised that no one's talking about this. I mean, that, you know, well, okay, let's save that for a few minutes. Okay.
So put a
pin in that one. All right, let's move on. There's really nothing else to say about Everton, right? I mean, let's just move on.
No, sorry, Everton.
Newcastle Sunderland, 1-1 draw on Sunday. Just briefly highlighting these players because they could be valuable down the line. Wijnaldum, you know, hit or miss, but he's not very expensive.
If it's like whenever Newcastle scores, he's the one that's popping up with the assist or the goal.
Did pick up 3 bonus points.
Yeah, it's like Ozil-esque. He's so involved in that midfield that when points get produced, he's going to collect on those bets.
And, you know, his price is reasonable. I mean, he's at 6.8, so that's a great fourth striker price.
10.2% ownership as well, which is not massive. I mean, given his major point hauls earlier in the season, I thought maybe he'd be higher.
But just, I mean, he's a player I actually might look at bringing in for game week 32, to be honest. You know, because I don't really want three Spurs players for the next fixture, and he's away to Norwich, and yeah, right. You know, it's possible. I don't know. It's kind of, although Norwich have kept 2 clean sheets in a row, so
Norwich defense is watertight, my friend.
I know. It's all about Klose. I don't know if you've been following the saga of Klose.
I know he's a player that they brought in and he plays in their defense. I don't know anything about this Klose saga.
Didn't play until game week 24. This is right after the insane 5-4 Liverpool game.
Wait, like so game week 24 was the first time he's ever played football in his life?
Yeah, that's actually true. He's 15 years old.
It's incredible. Yeah.
So he doesn't play for them until game week 24. Has played now the last, was it 8 fixtures? Am I doing my math right? 8 fixtures. And so 2 clean sheets in the last 2 matches, 2 bonus points in game week 30 in the Man City match, and then 3 bonus points in the West Brom match. So 5 bonus points, and he's available at 4.2 million.
So for whatever reason, it's just starting to click back there. I mean, this team couldn't keep a clean sheet to save their life for a majority of the season.
I know. It's very strange. And I'm not necessarily saying, you know, I'm not necessarily advocating that strongly for, you know, for bringing in a Norwich defender. But if you need a defender who's super cheap, I mean, they're home to Newcastle, they're home to Sunderland. They have 2 home fixtures in a double game week. I mean, it could be worse.
Did you mention that Tim Klose is owned by 0% of managers in the game?
Yeah, so a bit of a differential there, too. Although, you know, how long is this Norwich thing going to last? Like, they're just as likely to give up, like, 5 goals.
It's true.
Yeah.
It's the old bait and switch.
Anything you want to say about Sunderland? Do you have any interest in that team?
Well, I mean, just to state the obvious, that Jermaine Defoe just delivers on his reputation. And it's interesting. If you're charting out the double game weeks, Newcastle comes out ahead in terms of the good fixtures, and I feel like people would want to invest in Mitrovic over Defoe at this point. So it's interesting just from the eye test to compare these two styles. Like Defoe is just cold and clinical, and Mitrovic basically was storming the beaches of Normandy at the end of that game, like brutally knocked unconscious, almost leveled by his own fan, trying to whip the stadium up into a frenzy after you scored the goal. He's clearly angling to be the escape hero of the season.
If you were classified as a midfielder, he'd be a great option, but just there's too many other striker options. I mean, I'd rather have Harry Kane with no double game weeks than Jermaine Defoe.
Yeah, I mean, I might rather have Troy Deeney than either of these guys, Mitrovic
or Defoe. Right, yeah, exactly. And unfortunately, there's really no defenders on either team that I'm particularly excited about. I mean, you know, there's Janmaat is always kind of an interesting option because, you know, he gets so far forward. But I mean, they're even Janmaat, you're not getting anything from. I mean, he has, you know, one goal and three assists on the season. His last assist was in game week 22. So, I mean, the idea of Janmaat as an underrated, you know, attacking defender. I mean, he does get forward certainly, but it just hasn't really happened.
He does, yeah. I think we need to give it another week with Newcastle because the Benitez effect isn't quite apparent just yet.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't know, Jonjo Shelvey, I'm still predicting him to score more points than Andre Ayew this season.
That's not going to happen. There's like, although, I mean, Ayew like isn't playing anymore, so maybe there's a possibility.
The window is open. It's just to make things a little exciting in BK Broiler land.
So he's on 70 points, and let's see, Ayew is on, he's got to be on over 100. This is good dead air. Ayew is on 126. So yeah, he just has to make up 66 points in the next seven game weeks.
All right, Taco Tuesday for you. Jonjo Shelvey will score one goal from outside the 18-yard box.
I think you've got to like find some taco coupons or something before you stay. You can't keep offering these tacos and then not coming through.
Are the lawyers going to start coming after me at some point?
I think so. I think you at least have to like – you've got to go find like one of those coupon – like you got to do a Groupon or something.
Okay. Chipotle was actually offering free guacamole today of some online game you had to play. So go check that out.
All right, Southampton.
Courtesy of always cheating.
Southampton 3, Liverpool 2. I like my show note here, which is just Liverpool's unbelievably awful defense.
They truly are awful. So awful. I mean,
they've been awful all year. I mean, they were awful before Klopp got there, and they've been probably worse since he got there.
This is a really maddening game, fantasy-wise, if you're looking at Southampton, because it sort of destroys your thinking on both ends. You're thinking Southampton has a great defense. Invest in their defense. Get Fraser Forrester, get Virgil van Dijk in. Then they let two goals in the first half against Liverpool. Now, who's doing the scoring for Southampton? Wildly overrated this season, Pele and Sadio Mane. So, like, I have no idea what to do with this result.
I don't know either, and I mean the thing that I'm you know paying even more attention to is what's going on with Roberto Firmino. I mean, you know, I we're talking about the, you know, it's really starting in game week 33 that I really want a healthy Roberto Firmino.
Yeah.
And he's certainly someone that I would look at as a differential, even like triple captain option in game week 34. I mean, they're, you know, away to Bournemouth and home to Everton. And, I mean, you could see him rack up, like, three goals, you know, three assists in those two matches. But, you know, I mean, hamstrings are, like, weird, tricky. You know, we've seen it with Diego Costa. Like, if you've got, like, a hamstring issue, it could linger for weeks and weeks.
Absolutely. Well, what about Coutinho as the other option? I mean, it's really optimal if both Coutinho and Firmino are playing, because I think that benefits both of them.
Yeah,
but Coutinho on his own.
Yeah, and the, you know, Daniel Sturridge is the one who really seems to benefit when Firmino doesn't play, and so it's like they haven't totally clicked as a trio yet.
Right.
And you know, I tweeted out about this on Sunday. I guess it's like it's so hard to pick the 3 week stretch where Coutinho is going to be awesome.
Yeah,
you know, because it's like he'll be awesome for 3 weeks, and then it's like 10 straight, you know, two pointers.
Right. Yeah, Daniel Sturridge is another. He's sort of in the Welbeck camp of possible pickups. Like he could be great. I mean, Sturridge would on his day be a much better option than Danny Welbeck, just because his goal scoring ability, Daniel Sturridge's, is uniquely sublime.
It's true. Yeah. I mean, we you saw it in the Southampton game.
Yeah, but I mean, he could just like accidentally fall out of a hot air balloon or something like that in the next week. And
I mean, he would be the single most stressful double game week player. Like,
yeah.
Can you imagine burning a chip on that guy? Like, it would be so like you'd be so nervous the whole time. I mean, honestly, burning a triple captain chip on Sergio Aguero would be the only thing that's more stressful. I mean, because he can you imagine?
I wouldn't do it now. I wouldn't do it now for sure.
I mean, you know, game week 37 would be. Oh no, actually, that's Man U. Excuse me. God, game week 37, Man U, away to Norwich and West Ham. That's a crazy double game week. But wait, that's neither here nor there.
For Manchester United?
For Man U, yeah. I mean, if they had anybody worth, you know, maybe Wayne Rune, like maybe Runepig will be back for that last game week.
You don't think West Ham will just hand United's ass to them?
Well, West Ham, like, they can't keep clean sheets, though. I mean, you know this as a Cresswell owner.
Yes, I
do. I mean, they can still win, but they don't keep clean sheets.
Cresswell is just like deep on my bench these days. Poor guy. Yeah. I'm gonna have to roll him out this next game week.
Pelé is another interesting player. Just as I would say, less interesting because they don't have any double game weeks. More of like a 1 week punt, or maybe, you know, maybe to even bring in for a couple weeks if you're not planning to game week until game week 36.
Yeah. I certainly profited from Pele's form earlier in the season, and he was great, and then he just totally dropped off. So he's definitely a streaky form player. But the problem is, like we've said and we'll keep saying, I think it's that the list of strikers to bring in is just so competitive right now that it's hard to consider Pele at the top.
Yeah. Just one last note on this Southampton-Liverpool match. The weirdest fantasy day ever for Sadio Mane. 45 minutes, penalty missed, yellow card, 2 goals, 2 bonus points, 10 points. That is really 10 points the hard way, Brandon.
It certainly is. I mean, God, I mean, mark our words, maybe Pele and Mane are going to be the guy, like top point scorers, but over the next 6 or 7 weeks. I don't know.
Mane disappeared for like 5 months. Like, Mane might just hate cold weather. Like, maybe he just hated winter and he just could not play. It was just, he did not like how cold it was.
that is plausible. That is plausible.
All right. Last fixture. Not much to say about this one. Man U, Man City. You already said you got totally screwed by Dan Mikaelis.
Oh my God. Yeah. So Joe Hart got sabotaged by that short back pass. And now I'm saddled with David Silva, who, I mean, of all the people who hasn't yet fallen out of this squad with injury, yeah, Raheem Sterling is now out for what, like 4 weeks with a inner thigh or groin strain or something. KDB is still out, but David Silva with his bloody ankles remains.
I know, it's weird.
They have some intriguing fixtures upcoming. They have Bournemouth away and then West Brom. So worst players to be sort of stuck with until I unfurl my wild card.
It's really honest horribilis is what the season is turning into for Man City. Although that said, they actually have if I'm Man City, I guess you don't want to miss out on a Champions League spot for next year. I mean, that is super important, right? Because they are really on the cusp of not making it. I mean, they're effectively tied with Man U and West Ham.
Yeah, the Guardiola team must be like calling that the front office at City nonstop, saying what exactly is going on over there?
Well, it's their fault for pushing this signing through at midseason. I mean, there's no way this happens if the team isn't basically told that their manager isn't good enough and he's going to be replaced at the end of the season.
Yeah. So where do we stand? We could talk about this to death, but so where do we stand with Aguero as we move into all these chops and changes in our squads?
It's amazing how different it feels with Aguero right now. I mean, I remember watching this match just being like, I mean, they're at home in this match, and I remember just thinking, well, like, I don't expect anything from Aguero. If he scores, that'd be nice, you know. It's like, it was sort of like, well, it'd be cool if he did something good, but I mean, he's not even really in my plans for like triple captain right now. I mean, it's just not.
There was this one beautiful pass. There was this beautiful pass from Silva where he cut across the 18-yard box, and Aguero trapped it beautifully and brought it down. He trapped it with his chest and brought it down onto his right foot, and he cut across the ball. and didn't even put it on target. But that was the Silva assist that I really needed to seal my game week.
What a brutal transfer that was.
Yeah, well, you know, maybe I'll have my Christian Eriksen moment against Bournemouth.
Yeah, in exactly. I mean, it's definitely possible.
He's like the only attacking player left in that midfield.
Are you planning to captain Aguero in Game Week 32 away to Bournemouth?
My initial thought, we could talk about this more at the end of the podcast, but my thought is Harry Kane gets to keep the armband.
Yeah, I think that's fair. Even away to Liverpool, I mean, I guess with that defense, you're not scared.
Yeah, I Liverpool is no joke, that's for sure, but Kane he's just on fire right now. And that Spurs team, you have to assume they're going to be ready for this game and they're going to have an attacking state of mind.
Yeah, I think that's fair. I mean, it's actually a pretty interesting week for captains. I mean, you could argue that Riyad Mahrez is just every week should be your captain.
Yeah. Spurs have to win, though. I guess they can eke out a few draws and still catch Leicester, assuming Leicester trips up at some point. But Spurs had to be looking for 3 points every time out just so they can catch up to Leicester.
Yeah. Well, it's an interesting week for captains, to be sure. I mean, Mesut Ozil at home to Watford is a pretty interesting option, too.
Yeah, oh, if I only still had Mesut Ozil.
Yeah. Well, you traded him for David Silva. That's like for like.
Yeah, it is like for like.
I was kidding.
Thanks for drawing me into that one. I mean, it couldn't have been more a disaster, or the money I lost by getting rid of Ozil just for the panic of not fielding a full squad during that game week, and then here I am wanting Ozil back, and Silva's a total dud.
I know we both love David Silva, but it's a rough season for him.
All right, David, we wish you the best of luck. Good luck.
We do. And now we move to Twitter/Facebook questions, and it's also kind of our double game week discussion area, although we've basically been talking about double game weeks the whole time already.
Hey, who hasn't been talking about double game weeks?
And this is also, normally we try to integrate these questions in. So now we have the happy, like, the happy fact of just, like, having people ask us questions that we've already answered early in the pod.
Yeah.
So Scott Gill says, is it time to say a goodbye to Aguero and other City assets? It seems like Pellegrini is sabotaging the team. I actually don't think that Pellegrini is sabotaging the team. I think that the team feels rudderless right now. I mean, it's like, you know, I don't know if you've ever been at a job, Brandon, where like the head of the company was stepping down in 6 months. I mean, it's like a lame duck face, basically. Yeah. You know, you see it with the presidency, it's, you know, when someone's on the way out, it's just hard. It's hard for them to get things through. It's hard for people to take them as seriously. You know, it's just human nature, and I just don't know that. I think the second that happened, they were banking on a bunch of millionaire 24-year-olds to be way more mature about this than they actually could be.
You know? I think Scott can answer this question by going to the intermittently active Twitter account Emo Pellegrini to really get Pellegrini's side of this argument.
Yeah, as to his question, it's a tricky one. I think I don't know that there's a clear cut answer to this. I'm not gonna pretend that there is. I certainly wouldn't get rid of them. Honestly, and do you need to triple up on those assets? No.
Oh no way. Which makes me feel kind of fortunate in that Joe Hart got injured, because it was insane. I have been tripled up on Leicester, Spurs, and Manchester City. That's 9 spots in my squad taken up by 3 teams. I mean, to a degree that I'm sure a lot of people are in the same boat, but
sure.
why 3 Manchester City players in your squad? It's too much right now.
I have, I guess I have 7, because I have 3 Leicester, 3 Spurs, and then just Sergio Aguero. I mean, you know, so they're away to Bournemouth, they're home to West Brom, and then they have a double game week. So I do think that you could make – there's a strong argument you've made for dropping Sergio Aguero for the double game week, which seems like heresy. But given how much money that would free up and how many more double game week players you could bring in by getting rid of him, I do think that there's an argument made for it.
Yeah, so it depends on when you're playing your wild card. Are you in the playing your wild card in Game Week 33 camp or playing it in 36? If you play it in 36, then I think, like you're saying, you make a strong case to keep him through Game Week 33 when they're home to West Brom.
Are we and both then, in the 33-week camp, Brennan?
I mean, I have to play my wild card in Week 33 because I barely have any double Game Week players right now.
Could you just play it in Game Week 32? Why is everyone waiting until Game Week 33?
Well, I mean, I guess it's the safe option. You're concerned about seeing some unfortunate injuries pop up, which I guess you could negotiate with a transfer or two in Game Week leading into the double Game Week.
Yeah.
But, I mean, I assume that's why. It's just the fear that you're going to see some players drop out with injuries, and you don't want to risk that. Just playing your wild card all willing. And people are probably pretty happy with their teams.
I don't know. I mean,
32.
I just feel like if I were in a tight league, I was like 60 or 70 points behind. I don't know that I mean, like, you have a chance to wild card. A wild card tends to be a season, you know, like fortunes rise and fall based on the wild card. And a well-played wild card can absolutely propel you forward. And playing that a week early is a great way to make up ground on your – now, you know, has the problem of showing your hand. You know,
To be superstitious about it, I think any time I have ever played a wild card, the week following me playing that wild card is one of my worst weeks. Like, I feel like the wild card never works out immediately, except for maybe one player. So if I think about this in superstitious ways, maybe I do want to play it in 32 just to get that bad wild card week out of my system.
And I mean, I'm not saying that I'm not planning to do this because I basically like my team for Game Week 32. But if I didn't like my team for Game Week 32, or if, like, you know, three of my players get injured in the international break. If you didn't like it, I'm not going to field a bad injured team in Game Week 32 if a lot of players go down. I'm just going to play my wild card.
Right.
You know, I just don't think – I'm just surprised that this hasn't come up more often. And, I mean, the second I say this, I'm sure, like, this fantasy football scout has spent, like, 10,000 words on this or something. But I certainly haven't seen anybody make an argument, you know, in favor or against wildcarding in Game Week 32. And I just think it's something worth considering. I mean, there are a lot of teams that have double game weeks that have really good fixtures in Game Week 32. I mean, you know, you've got, you know, Liverpool. Liverpool at home to Tottenham's not a great fixture. But, you know, Man City away to Bournemouth. Arsenal at home to Watford. You know, Newcastle is away to Norwich. You know, I don't know. So, you know, even West Ham, you know, is home to Crystal Palace, and they have a double game week in 34.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. I just think it's worth thinking about.
And seeing the prices fluctuate wildly when people start, like, when everyone starts bringing Lukaku in, maybe better to get him early if your budget's super tight.
That is true. If you're going to wildcard in Game Week 33, you better start wildcarding, like, on Saturday morning. Or you're suddenly going to find a lot of players who are wait till the, like, deadline passes and don't accidentally wildcard too early. But
yeah, right.
You know, because like once that Game Week 33 starts, I mean we're going to see some of the craziest fluctuations I can remember, because you know never have we seen this many people with wild cards in the second half of the season. Most people just played them in January, that is to say that, you know, it used to be that your second wild card, you had to play in January, and most people didn't have the self-control to hold on to their first wild card all season long. I certainly never did. I think, like, the longest I ever lasted was, like, Game Week 3 or
something. I know. yeah, I could make a few lewd jokes here, but I will withhold them.
So, to Scott's question, I do think that that Aguero is worth holding on to, and I think he's probably the only player worth holding on to in Man City at the moment. It's hard to trust Silva. I mean, I know you have Silva, but I don't think I'd be bringing in Silva right now.
No, not at all. I totally agree.
Yeah, you can't trust the defense, especially without company. And just the way that he's rotating those fullbacks, who knows which one to bring in? Why risk it? You know, like, why bring in even Gael Clichy or you know, Bakary Sagna, who seems to get, it seems like Sonya's becoming a little more reliable again, but I don't know. I especially with double game week, I mean, you just don't know.
You know, the week you bring Sonya in is the week that he gets rested.
Yeah, exactly. So, okay. So that's, you know, let's say we both agree that Aguero is the one to hold on to, but also one that you don't absolutely have to hold on to, because if you can take that money and turn it into more double game week players, that might be worth it. Do you agree with that?
I'm thinking about it, Josh.
Yeah, it was a mouthful. Yeah.
Yeah, no.
For a while.
Yeah, no, I think we've got a pretty solid response there for Scott. So, Scott, put that in your pipe.
All right. Chris Morin says, how many single game week players are worth keeping in the game week 33 wildcard? Let's start calling it the game week 32 / game week 33 wildcard.
We're rebranding it here on Always Cheating.
/ game week 36 wildcard, maybe.
Now, when you say slash, are you talking about Sergio Aguero, or are you just yes, saying slash?
I'm talking about Aguero. Currently thinking Kane, Mahrez, and a Leicester defender. Also want to add that I would be bench boosting in game week 34. Okay, so this is another really important question. I don't know. Okay, so I'll just throw my thoughts out on this, which is that I think that there is way too – I think that people are losing their shit a little bit about double game weeks, and I do not see a reason to have 15 double game week players when that means getting rid of players like – there's a strong possibility that I'm going to have Kane and Mahrez even after my wild card.
I think it's insane if you don't, and I totally agree. If you want to field 15 – double game week players, especially in game week 34, your team is going to be a total cluster going into game week 35.
Especially if you load up on some of the key players. Like, I mean, it's really tempting to load up on Man U players because they have two double game weeks, but that game week 35 is going to kill you. And, you know, it's the same thing with West Ham and...
Yeah, let's just, you know, load up on United players, the same team that's just been woefully underachieving, very unreliable, low scoring as well. That sounds great. That's a great idea.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, it's just, you know, the Leicester has kept three straight clean sheets. You know, they're home to Swansea in game week 35. I bet there's a good chance of a clean sheet there. Home to West Ham in game week 34. Pretty good chance of a clean sheet there. You know, could keep one away to Sunderland in game week 33. God, this is a great stretch of games for Leicester. I mean, if they, you know, the problem is they end the season with Man U, Everton, and Chelsea. So it's really, couldn't you just see Everton beating them like 3-0 on the road in game week 37? Like this Everton team that just like logic, like makes no difference to them. Like they lose every game they shouldn't and win every game they should.
Roberto Martinez, he's unfeeling, uncaring.
I think that, okay. So who are you thinking, who do you think you hold on to in after the wild card?
I mean, frankly, I think Chris is right on the money for me. I will definitely be keeping Kane and Mahrez. I suppose, I don't know, Dele Alli, I had said our friends across the pond when we were on their podcast, and they asked, who's the one player that everyone should bring into their fantasy team? And I thought Dele Alli, like pound for pound, the value, his place that he plays on that Spurs team. How could you upgrade on Dele Alli, even getting somebody in for a double game week? He's apt to score 10 points any given game week, particularly if they're playing...
I don't know. I mean, I'm actually probably going to get rid of Dele Alli.
All right. Well, I'm making the case that Alli would be one to keep.
Okay.
I mean, I guess maybe you're advocating for that's the price bracket in which you bring in the differential midfielder that has the double game week.
Well, I was thinking Antonio is a great swap for Dele Alli. They have, you know, it's Leicester and Watford in game week 34, and then they have another double game week in 37. So, I mean, you could make Antonio your fifth midfielder. You know, they're off in game week 35, but, you know, you could ride, you could play him every week, throughout the rest of the season after game week 35.
Yeah. I don't really know who else. I mean, because everyone has a double game week. Who doesn't have a double game week? That who am I going to kid? Charlie Daniels, maybe, if I had him on my team.
Yeah, I know. I mean, maybe Wijnaldum, you know, I mean, it's
well, Newcastle has a double game week in 34.
Yeah. I don't know. I mean, you could take a look at, you could try to take a super punt on an Arsenal midfielder. I mean, who's starting for Arsenal though? I mean, do we actually think Iwobi will play more than, like, is he going to play next week? Yeah. You know, like maybe because he scored, he will, but it's certainly no chance he's going to, you know, it's not clear that he's going to play, you know, every game week throughout the rest of the season. And I mean, it's really just Mesut Ozil, right? I mean, mm-hmm. He's the only midfielder who's starting every game week. I mean, I guess Alexis Sanchez too. Although, you know, he's still just too expensive.
Yeah. So apart from Spurs and Leicester, the other two teams that jump out at me that don't have a double or a blank are Southampton and Stoke. And they're, if you look at their fixtures, it's very uneven. And it's hard to really justify that you would... I mean, Southampton perhaps more than some when they hit Newcastle in game week 33, game week 35, they have Villa.
Yeah.
But still, it mixed in there. They have Leicester, City, Spurs, and Everton.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, I think Gabriel is the player that I'd be looking at. If I double up on Arsenal's defense, I think I'd go with Gabriel. Because he's 4.3 and he's just so cheap, you know. So I'd pick up 1.3 million if I dropped Van Dijk for Gabriel.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, I think, know, that's so, a good call right there.
Yeah. So, and I think he's pretty. I think he's a pretty real. I mean, as reliable as you're going to get at that price bracket. I mean, I think Mertesacker is probably playing backup duty the rest of the season.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we might see him in one more match. Like, it's really about, like, if he decides to retire, we might see him in one more match. You know, but that Arsenal's running defensively, I mean, it's looking pretty strong. You know, Watford at home, Crystal Palace at home, West Brom at home, Norwich at home, Aston Villa at home, Sunderland away.
Yeah, it's appealing. It's appealing.
Yeah, it is. It is.
So Chris says that he's going to be bench boosting in game week 34. Have you given much thought as to bench boost versus triple captain in either of these double game weeks?
I'm still going back and forth on it a little bit. I think it's a hard one to pick. I see the advantages of both.
I feel like I'm going to do bench boost in 34 as well, just because a triple captain, you just have to feel that somebody is really in form. And I mean, all the hot in form players are either coming up on bad fixtures or they don't have a double game week. So I feel like if you give yourself a little more time.
If Firmino comes back and looks good in game week 32 and 33, I think that he would be a very tempting and slightly differential triple captain option for game week 34. You know, way to Bournemouth, home to Everton. I just think that would be you could pick up like 25 to 30 points.
Yeah, I was looking at West Ham in game week 37, Swansea and United both at home.
Yeah, I mean, just with Payet, it's like you never, I mean, I know he's still not like a great, he's not like an Alexis Sanchez level goal scorer. I mean, it's all about those free kicks. So if he doesn't get them, it's just,
he's a little too well balanced, that player.
He's a little too well balanced. Yeah, exactly. He's doing too many other things. I mean, it's kind of amazing how many goals he's scored, given that he's not always playing that far forward. And it's, you know, he's just got a great knack for goal. And, you know, it seems like I feel like he scored so many goals like in the 90th minute of a match. You know, like it's like
Mr. Clutch.
Yeah, or no, but I mean, like, it'll be like it's a 2-0 West Ham win, and then like somehow on the counter he's like wide open and scores.
Mr. Garbage Time.
Mr. Garbage Time. So, yeah, that's an interesting one. I think you're not thinking of Jermaine Defoe game week 37? Chelsea, home to Everton?
I mean, generally, I'm just, mind is always steering toward Jermaine Defoe. Like, just wonder what he's up to right now. No, not really.
Yeah,
it's intriguing.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
You're just pulling my leg?
Just pulling your leg there a little bit, buddy. All right. The next question is from Nick. It's actually basically the same question, so we'll say the question because we like having questions. We want to We want Nick to get a little shout out here. He says, is it worth having 15 double game weekers if you have a wild card, or keep single game weekers like Kane, Mahrez, who may outscore them? And so I think we do agree that Kane and Mahrez in particular, and then Allie in your case, are the three that you're planning to keep.
So here's another way to look at this too, right? Like, what's your game here, Nick? Are you playing in a head-to-head league? Are you playing in a league that's going for overall points? Because, like, Josh, I only need to clear one more game week against you in our head-to-head, and I'll wrap up the season. So maybe I just go hard on game week 34, get 15 players in, play my bench boost, and that's job done.
Yep, you just go ham.
I just go ham. I totally go ham. So, I mean, that's another sort of wrinkle, I suppose, is what sort of league are you playing? What sort of mini league are you playing in? And what are the stakes in each of these double game weeks for you?
Yeah, good point.
Because I think, like, here's what we were kind of dancing around is you could stand to get major points if you go all 15 double game week players,
yeah,
but then your team is all right. Corrupt.
And it's predicated on this idea that double game weeks are always lucrative. And anyone who's played this game for a long time knows that there are double game weeks that come and go where, like, fuck all happens. I mean, this happened last year when Arsenal and Liverpool had double game weeks the same week and no one did anything. I mean, the best return you could get was, I think I captained, Coutinho, and I got 6 points doubled, you know, so I got 2 3-pointers from him. Most people had captained, like, Alexis Sanchez, and he picked up 3 points doubled, maybe even five. I can't, it was just like no one did anything. And it was, you know, all this planning, all this, like, Sturm und Drang and nothing. And you would have been better off just captaining Harry Kane. So that actually brings us to Trevor Ingerson's question. He says, I may just captain Kane the rest of the season. Not sure what that means, but there you go.
I think that means that Trevor is a Spurs fan.
Yeah, I think that's what it means. I think it means he may not know there are double game weeks coming.
Yes, knowing Trevor the way we may know him, he may not know about the double game weeks. But I hear what T-Bone is saying, in that Harry Kane is now the leading scorer in the league. He's on fire right now. I mean, maybe he'll blow his ACL during the international break. But if anyone stands to score more goals in the next 7 weeks, it's Harry Kane.
It's amazing how little hate he gets. I mean, I know he gets, like, some people tease him a little bit, and he's got the mouth that hangs open all the time. But I think it's like, I think in America, he wouldn't really get it as much. But I feel like everyone's a little nervous about Euro 2016, and it's just like, all right, let's, like, leave Harry alone. Like, let's keep the confidence high.
Just let him do his thing.
Yeah, if we're gonna do anything in Euro 2016, it's gonna be Kane who does it.
So, I mean, well, they were saying on the Football Ramble podcast that Daniel Sturridge might still be Roy Hodgson's number one striker if healthy. So, curious.
I don't really understand that. Yeah, I mean, I guess would Kane still play, and he would play on the wing or something? Or
yeah,
or
they may play two up front. I don't really know. Not since Roy left Fulham, I haven't been following his tactics too much.
I mean, that would make sense. I mean, when, you know, Daniel Sturridge played up front with Luis Suarez, you know, right behind him right. In Liverpool, and that formation worked out great. So, I mean, I think that you could do. I mean, Harry Kane is such a versatile player that I think that you could do it that way. That would actually be great. I mean, I would love to see an England team with an informed Sturridge and Harry Kane. I mean, like, they could really do some damage.
Yeah, that or Harry Kane and Jamie Vardy up front too, which I'm sure a lot of people
about. Yeah. I don't think Vardy will start though. I mean, I hate to say that, as greatest season as he's had, but. I guess it just depends on how well, you know, Sturridge is playing. All right, that aside, Graham McDonald says, what single game week players are you planning on hanging on to for the double game weeks, if any? So we talked about that earlier. Siraj says, our defenders.
Hey, Siraj.
Hey, Siraj. Our defenders from defensively frail teams with double game weeks, a la Everton and Liverpool, really worth bringing in. So just to restate the question, and it's a tricky one. You know, bringing in defenders for double game weeks is just a tricky thing in general, because, you know, you can blow two clean sheets and suddenly you get 4 points or 3 points, or, you know, if you get a yellow card, you get it with 2 points, you know, from a defender.
Yeah.
So we, you know, we think that, you know, we think that Arsenal looks pretty strong for this double game week.
I agree. Arsenal is top of the defender wish list.
I think I would be very nervous about bringing an Everton defender for their double game weeks because they're home to Southampton, which, I mean, it could be a clean sheet, but Southampton have been, like, I don't know, with Sadio Mane, like, that team rises and falls offensively, like, depending on how Sadio Mane is doing.
Right.
And he was so dangerous in that game that I think, assuming he holds on to that form, I mean, this is, you know, we're still talking about, you know, 4 weeks from now, given that there's a international break to come this weekend. So I think...
If Seamus Coleman's form were like seasons past, and I know you rode the Seamus Coleman train for a while this season, and it did not pay any dividends. It
feels a little personal for me, the Everton thing.
Yeah, so I mean, you can't discount the value of bringing in a attacking defender like Coleman in this.
Funes Mori seems to get dangerous.
Yeah, great on, he's Huth-esque on set pieces, But again, they haven't, particularly with a guy like Coleman, hasn't shown a whole lot this season for you to build your team around that sort of strategy.
The other problem is Everton don't play in game week 35. So you're bringing in a defender and you're not sure what you're going to get from them in, you know, in terms of returns. And then you can't play them in game week 35. So, I mean, because I'm assuming that I'm going to have to... Whatever I do end up doing for game week 34, there's a pretty good chance I'm going to have three players who aren't playing in game week 35 on my bench. So, you know, I don't want one of those three players to be Phil Jagielka.
Yeah. I guess Manchester United would be another top of the list double game week defensive target. They have Villa and Crystal Palace at home in 34, and then Norwich and West Ham in 37. So I would put them up there with Arsenal.
I think that, I mean, Liverpool is a little more, I don't know. Liverpool is like, maybe I'd be a little more, I mean, it's so hard to talk about the Liverpool defense given what they just did to Southampton. But I'd be a little more inclined to bring in a Liverpool defender than I would a Everton defender, just given that they're, I mean, part of it too is that game week 35 is going to be really important because not a ton of teams have great fixtures in game week 35. You know, Arsenal has a good fixture, their way to Sunderland. Spurs have a great fixture. You know, they're
West Brom.
They're playing West Brom.
Home to West Brom.
Liverpool have a great fixture. They're home to Newcastle. So,
yeah.
I mean, you know, so you could bring in Nathaniel Clyne, and there's a decent chance you could get a clean sheet either home to Everton or away to Bournemouth, and then you're all set for game week 35 too.
Well, that is a Newcastle team that's going to be balls to the wall, have to win. Mitrovic is going to be like taking his shirt off every 5 minutes and going nuts.
Right, but just given that Liverpool have two double game weeks, I think I got to go with I don't think I'm going to load up on one forward and two defenders or one forward and two midfielders in Liverpool. So I think I'm going to have to pick up a defender, and I don't know. I mean, I guess you could look at the Mignolet there maybe.
Simon Mignolet, the great penalty stopper himself.
I mean, it's worth thinking about. I don't know.
I have thought about it. I'm not going to argue with you on
Do we think John Flanagan's going to keep his spot? He's played the last three game weeks.
I don't see why not. He's like all over that Liverpool Instagram and Twitter feed. It's like all Flanagan all the time.
Yeah. So maybe Flanagan. At 4.4, that's a good cheap punt. Okay, so last question is from Block 99. He says, "Hail cheaters! Interested to hear your wildcard strategies now that the fixtures have been announced." So, you know, really should read these questions like all at once. Block 99. I guess we just kind of ran through them. Hopefully, there's some interesting thoughts there. And I think
I've got some thoughts.
Okay,
we haven't touched on Watford at all. I feel like this pod, and we mentioned Troy Deeney's name, but once. And if you look at their double game weeks, their four games in 34 and 37 combined, they're all away from home, which makes it a little less appealing. But West Brom, West Ham, Norwich, and Liverpool, these are all teams that I could conceivably see Ighalo and Troy Deeney scoring against.
Mm-hmm.
But they do get tripped up because they blank in game week 35. So I just want to make sure we don't leave Watford out to dry there. And for all you Elton John fans out
That's
there.
Fair. It's hard to get excited about Watford right now. I mean, I think they're, you know, if I were them, I'd be all in the FA Cup. And I mean, they're not going down this year. It's, you know, like, there's no chance of that happening. So it's just, you know, I don't know. And I just don't know how motivated they are right now to push on through the end of the season.
Now, okay, here's the last curveball I'll throw at you. What about wild carding in game week 35? So imagine you have your team kind of set up to play the double game weeks without playing your wild card in 34. And uh-huh. then you have this series of blanks. You have, what, six blanks in game week 35?
Uh-huh.
Could take some serious rearranging to get a full, strong squad for game week 35.
Yeah, the only problem is you couldn't bring in a lot of the teams that you'd want. Like, you know, just I feel like you'd have to wait till game week 36 because if you're waiting that long, then you want to load up on Everton players, you know, because they're away to Leicester and Sunderland. So that's another triple captaincy option, I think, is Lukaku in game week 37, away to Leicester and Sunderland. I don't know. I mean, I guess Leicester could keep a clean sheet in game week 37 there, but it's, I don't know. I kind of see some goals in that match.
Let's just not talk about Leicester until they've won the league. I can't take it. It makes my stomach hurt.
Yeah. But I think that there's just many players you couldn't load up on. You know, you couldn't bring in your beloved Watford players.
Yeah.
Any of your Hammers.
Yeah. Yeah. You're right about that. That's true. But the things will be won and lost in game week 35. Mark my words.
Mm, truly.
Truly. All right. So we're going to take next week off. We talked about taking next week off.
Yeah, I think we're going to. I think we need a little break. You know, we're going to.
I'm dying.
Let's pray that nothing happens. First of all, nothing can happen as bad as what happened last week, which is that we recorded a Monday podcast where we talked about how we still can't talk about double game weeks because they haven't been announced. And then somehow minutes after the podcast was recorded, all the double game weeks were announced.
Yeah.
And so we had this podcast that was basically dead on arrival the minute we posted it. So this week, let's just hope that, you know, okay, let's say this. If Sergio Aguero goes down and Harry Kane goes down and, I don't know, Mesut Ozil, if all three of those players go down injured in the international break, we will come back next week with a podcast. But barring that, we're taking a week off. We'll see our families, have a night, you know, to not record and then come back after the game 32.
We'll go to Applebee's, our neighborhood bar and grill, hang out with the neighbors, spend some real quality time with the community.
Why don't we? But what we'll do is we'll post our, because we know people never actually get this far, but if they do, they're excited for our optimizer picks. So we'll post those on Facebook.
I love the social media optimizer. So yeah, you can follow us during our trials and tribulations of a week off and always cheating land. Facebook, facebook.com/alwayscheating.
And maybe that's just where we'll post those optimizers going forward too. Cause we've been debating just kind of cutting the optimizer in general, but maybe it just makes more sense to exist in an online form.
It's true. I heard a wise person say recently that predicting is the lowest form of journalism. So our optimizer may be considered by the likes of David Remnick to be low class.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. That wasn't very nice of David.
He wasn't directing it at me per se, but I definitely felt what he was saying.
He looked you square in the eyes and he said that.
Right, right. So definitely follow us, and you can continue to pick our brains, and we'll pick your brains about the double game weeks on Facebook, facebook.com/alwayscheating, and we're on Twitter @HailCheaters. And how else can people get in touch with us, Josh?
They can email us, hailcheaters@gmail.com, and they can find us on iTunes and SoundCloud and Stitcher.
Cool, yeah. And Poku, we recently saw Poku, and he said, I will write a review of the Always Cheating podcast on iTunes once you've received 5 additional iTunes reviews. So if you out there listening want to see what Poku, how Poku would review us on iTunes, you have to make an effort and go review our podcast at least 5 times.
That's, I like that. Or just write a review as Poku. That would also
work. Just pretend to be Poku. People do it all the time. Perhaps that's the only way Poku's going to get into that starting lineup for NYCFC this season, if he just has, pretends to be somebody else.
I know. Free Poku, please.
All right, Josh. Is that it? Have we covered everything?
Yeah, that's it, Brandon. I'll talk to you soon.
All right. Hail Poku.
Hail Cheaters.